And welcome back to another edition of the Angus Talking Newspaper, your audio source for local news, stories, and updates from across the Angus area. My name is Stacy, and in this edition, we'll be sharing a variety of news, community stories, and features to keep you informed and connected. From August 21st, which is read by Muriel, August 28th, which is read by Irene, and September 4th, read by Julie. Finally, there'll be an article from TNF Soundings about AI-powered glasses that have been available for visually impaired people in the UK. This article, written by Lindsay and read by Mary, provide a summary of what some of the different brands offer. Hope that you enjoy the selection that we've prepared, and as always, thank you for listening.
Hi, my name is Muriel and I'm reading from Angus County Press, dated the 21st of August. A rising Montrose musician has teamed up with Specsavers to turn heads and open eyes across Scotland with a catchy new song designed to spread the word about the importance of eye health. At just 21 years old, Ben Walker has gone from writing songs on a farm outside the town to headlining venues such as St Luke's in Glasgow and sharing stages with The View, all while gathering a local following on TikTok and Instagram with his witty, down-to-earth content. Now Ben has performed a catchy track highlighting the benefits of EOS, Enhanced Optometry Services, a free NHS service available through local Specsaver branches. In a bid to spread awareness that opticians can treat red eyes, dry eyes, or even foreign objects stuck in a person's eyes, the creative campaign highlights the various conditions that don't always need a hospital visit, but do need fast, professional care. The song is gaining traction online for its clever lyrics, an unforgettable hook about the signs of common eye conditions. Ben said, "Sticky eyes never sounded so good. I've always tried to write and perform songs grounded in real experiences. So when Specsavers asked me to sing about sticky, red or gritty eyes, I thought, aye, that's real life. If a song can help someone get the right care faster, I'm all in." Ben's musical journey began at a songwriting camp in Spain with Kyle Faulkner of The View. Not long after he was invited to support The View on tour, even performing at Transmit Festival. Beyond music, he manages social media for some of the UK's most exciting up-and-coming artists, including members of Cast who are supporting Oasis. Laura Baird, dispensing optician and director, said the EOS is a free NHS service in Scotland delivered by trained optometrists through local Specsavers branches and other participating practices. EOS offers rapid treatment for a range of minor but urgent eye issues without the need for hospital referral in most cases. We wanted to really focus on this serious subject, which in many cases could save your sight. Forfar Probus welcomed one of their own, Neil Valentine, to their recent meeting to talk about what he had let himself in for, volunteering as a parent helper at Forfar Swimming Club in 1992. He was a very busy orthopaedic surgeon, but in his spare moments took on judging, timekeeping, water safety and encouraging youngsters at the various galas and competitions in the pools around the local area. He trained through the years, qualifying as a licensed referee in 2007 and elected as president of the Scottish Amateur Swimming Association in 2011. He showed exciting videos of races where he officiated, including Glasgow Commonwealth Games in 2014. Members showed by their questions their interest in Neil's presentation. Arbroath Rotaries Club recent meeting at Gayfield delved into the past, present and future of our Abbey when Nicola Livingston of the Friends of Arbroath Abbey gave a detailed and well-presented talk. The Friends of Arbroath Abbey promote the importance of the Arbroath Abbey within the history of Scotland for the betterment of the community and town of Arbroath. Some of their recent activities have included a torchlight procession from the Signal Tower to the Abbey, Easter egg hunt, and the very well supported 6th of April Declaration Family Fun Day in the Abbey grounds. A new Newtile woman has become the first patient in Tayside to receive a new type of dialysis treatment from the comfort of her own home. Gail Fisher has been on dialysis for 2 years while awaiting a kidney transplant. Normally, Gail would visit Ninewells Hospital 3 times a week and spend up to 6 hours undergoing treatment and travelling to appointments. Thanks to the new treatment option, Gail has access to an NX Stage Verse HD machine, which she is able to operate by herself from the comfort of her own home. Although home dialysis has been an option for years, the new machine is fully portable, meaning it can be used at home or even while travelling, giving patients greater control and independence. Renal staff are also on hand to offer support if patients encounter any problems. Gail said, having the machine in her own home means I'm in a comfortable environment and I can have my treatment when I want. I'm not tied to going to the hospital 3 days a week. I feel confident and have a sense of achievement following my treatments, which is all thanks to the home therapies team. I really couldn't have done this without them. Charge nurse Hazel Lowe added, this achievement is the result of dedicated work and collaboration between our renal nursing team, consultants, home therapy services, and wider colleagues. And we are looking forward to expanding this offer to more patients across Tayside. A Montrose institution has been sold after more than 30 years in the same ownership. The George Hotel has been run by Trish Douglas for the last 3 decades and was a popular function venue as well as the meeting place of the town's now defunct Rotary Club for many years. The George Street building has 25 ensuite bedrooms, a restaurant, a lounge and a function room. Following a recent sales process with Simon Watson at Christie & Co, the hotel has been sold to a private operator. Trish said that she has sold the business to allow her to retire and spend time travelling. She thanked the hotel's staff and customers for their continuing support over the years. She said it has been an absolute pleasure to own the George for 35 years, and may I take the opportunity to wish the new owners well. A huge thank you to my staff who have been amazing, to all the customers who have been so loyal for many years, and not forgetting our local suppliers. Thank you all. The hotel freehold was sold for a non-disclosed sum. Local MP Dave Dugan recently squeezed a visit to a South Angus farm to find out how blackcurrants are expertly produced for Ribena. Mr Dugan, member for Angus and Perthshire Glens, toured Andrew and Julie Husband's East Admonston farm as the annual harvest of the fruit got underway. As well as understanding more about growing blackcurrants, the visit offered an opportunity to see how growers implement sustainable farming practices to enhance biodiversity on the farm and ensure that Ribena can continue to produce their famous drink consistently year after year. Mr Dugan said it was great to visit East Adamston Farm and hear directly from Andrew, Julie and Fraser about the work being done to support biodiversity. In the face of climate and economic pressures, partnerships like this between businesses and farmers are crucial. Ribena is an iconic drink and we can all cherish it in the knowledge that blackcurrant farms are playing a vital role in boosting biodiversity across Scotland. With more than 90% of British grown blackcurrants used in the making of Ribena, Sanctuary Beverage and Food GB and its network of growers protect and nurture more than 4,000 acres of UK countryside. Fraser McIntosh, the company's head of external affairs and sustainability, said, visiting our growers during harvest season is a real privilege, but it always serves as a reminder of the key challenges our growers face with increasingly unpredictable environmental conditions. Having the local MP visit our growers means we can showcase their commitment to sustainability and outline the support required to ensure the long-term future for blackcurrant growing in harmony with nature. Andrew and Julie Husband said, "It's always a special day when we get to open our gates and show people around the farm and the effort that goes into growing blackcurrants and sustainability. We've worked closely with SBFGB for decades and their support is invaluable as it allows us to plan confidently for the years ahead." Two Montrose FC players have been recognised by the club for reaching a milestone number of appearances. Blair's Lions celebrated the start of the new league campaign by coming off the bench against Hamilton Arcades to make its 200th appearance. Meanwhile, the recent Premier Sports Cup fixture against Adrianians saw Kerr Waddle reach 100 appearances. Lions arrived in 2019 from Lowland League side University of Stirling, with the winger scoring 43 goals across two spells at Lynx Park. Club director Peter Davidson said, "Blair enjoyed a strong season last year and we are excited to see him continue to play a vital part in our future success." Lions added, "Really happy to reach 200 games for Montrose. It's been some journey from joining at 22 to turning 29 this year. Montrose has been a big part of my life with lots of ups and downs, but overall it has been a really successful period for the club and I have loved my time here. Injury has hampered much of Waddle's time at Lynx Park, but he agreed a one-year contract extension early this summer, which could extend further to 2027. Club Chief Executive Peter Stewart said, "Kerr had so much to deal with recovering from his ACL last year. We are all delighted to see him reach this milestone and hope it marks the start of a long injury-free run." Waddle added, "After a few serious injuries, this seems like a long time in coming. But I will continue to give my all and hopefully there is another 100 to come." Montrose were hit with a late sucker punch in a 3-3 draw away to Cove Rangers on Saturday the 16th of August. Montrose played for nearly 70 minutes with 10 men after Keir Bertie was sent off, but looked on their way to the 3 points. Ewan Loudon scored twice for the visitors, while Callum Sandilands was also on target. However, David Egwabor completed his hat-trick in the 94th minute for Cove, as Montrose had to settle for their first League One point. Forfar Athletic boss Jim Weir says it couldn't be any better as his side sit top of League Two, following a 4-2 win at home to Stirling Albion on Saturday the 16th of August. The hosts actually fell behind when Jack Harkness struck just shy of the half-hour mark, however, would be level before the break. Martin Rennie equalised from the penalty spot in the 41st minute and then put Forfar in front with seconds of the half remaining. Athletic extended their lead 3 minutes into the second period through Ross McLean. Albion would pull one back in the 50th minute when Russell McLean found the net. However, less than 60 seconds later, McLean sealed the points with his second. We are told Forfar Athletic TV it couldn't be any better. Well, it could be. I'm disappointed with the 2 goals we lost, but no, it's credit to the players. I'd said to them there was a slight opportunity if results went our way and we did our business that we could go top of the league. We know it's really early, so we're certainly not getting carried away after 3 games because there is a long season and tough games ahead. We just want to keep the momentum going, keep moving forward a game at a time and see where it takes us at the end of the season. Brechin City boss Ray McKinnon admitted he'd have to be off his head not to be delighted with a 5-0 win. City put Bucky Thistle to the sword at Glebe Park on Saturday the 16th of August to remain top of the Highland League with 6 wins out of 6. It took just 6 minutes for Grady McGrath to give the hosts the lead as he turned in a Mitch Taylor cross that had been dummied by Cillian Sheridan. McGrath almost doubled their advantage on 37 minutes when he hit the inside of the post, but seconds later got on the end of a Fraser McLeod corner to make it 2-0. 3 minutes before the break, City went further in front, as this time Sheridan elected to get on the end of a Taylor cross to head past Ewan Storier. City came straight out the traps after half-time as Taylor added a fourth 2 minutes into the second period, curling in a free kick from 25 yards. The fifth arrived after 72 minutes, as 2 minutes after coming on as a substitute, Craig Tosh fired in his second goal for the club. McKinnon told HTV, "I'd be off my head to say I wasn't delighted with a 5-0 victory, and some of the goals were fantastic. However, Bucky are a really good side and made us work really hard. I won't take anything away from them. The scoreline is great for us, but they are better than that. I think the 3 goals in the first half were excellent, and then the free kick from Mitch just after half time was outstanding. From there, we saw the game out pretty well, and Toshi scored a really good goal as well. It was a tough week for us. The 2-0 win at Banks of Dee midweek was very physical, and against Bucky, it was a physical game again. The thing is, the team stood up to that really well and picked up the 6 points, so I'm delighted with that. Brad McKay missed the game as his wife went into labour, with Dundee loan Wallace Baird drafted into the side. He said, "We wish Brad all the best and hope things went well with the new addition to the family. We threw Wallace in to replace him, perhaps at the deep end, but he did well and will only improve."
Hi, my name is Irene, and I'm reading from the Angus County Press, dated Thursday, August the 28th, 2025. Next step in line project. SSEN Transmission is poised to take a major step forward with its plans for a new overhead line between Kintore in Aberdeenshire and Teeling. The company is in the process of notifying all stakeholders that it intends to submit an application for overhead line consent to Scottish ministers by Friday, September the 5th. The 400 kV overhead line project is a key component of SSEN Transmission's Pathway to 2030 investment programme, where it expects to invest at least £22 billion up to March 2031. It is part of a wider renewal of the electricity transmission system to enable the homegrown low-carbon electricity needed to deliver UK and Scottish clean power and energy security targets. The need for the project has been independently assessed and approved by the National Energy System Operator, NESO, and Energy Regulator, Ofgem. The forthcoming submission of the Section 37 consent application under the Electricity Act 1989 to the Scottish Government's Energy Consents Unit, ECU, will mark the culmination of a detailed development process since 2022, during which time SSEN Transmission has carried out one of the biggest public consultation exercises ever seen in the north of Scotland. 40 consultation events and public meetings have taken place to help inform the development of the new proposed overhead line, which also includes 2 new substations at Fetteresso Forest, Harley, and Teeling, Emmock. Associated projects are the reconductoring of the existing overhead lines between Aileth and Teeling and between Teeling and Westfield in Fife to upgrade them from 275 kV to operate at 400 kV. Alongside the consideration of stakeholder feedback, SSEN Transmission has also sought to balance key environmental, technical and economic considerations in line with its regulatory licence and legislative obligations. This includes reducing the impact on environmentally sensitive areas and key cultural heritage assets along the route. The company has said that minimising community impacts and seeking to avoid close proximity to residential properties has also been a key priority. Following feedback during consultation, changes were made to some aspects of the plan, including changing the preferred route to two sections of the line between Forfar and Brechin, and new alignments developed around Carriston near Brechin. Alison Hall, Director of Development, said, "The forthcoming submission of our consent application marks a key milestone in delivering UK and Scottish Government energy targets, unlocking the homegrown low-carbon electricity generation required to help deliver a cleaner, more secure and affordable electricity system for current and future generations. Investing to upgrade our electricity transmission network is also a major driver of jobs and economic activity locally and nationally, including our ambitious housing legacy commitments, community benefit funding proposals and workforce expansion plans, delivering a transformational and lasting legacy in the local communities we serve. Throughout the development of the project, we have undertaken one of the most extensive public consultations the north of Scotland has ever seen, and we would like to thank all stakeholders who have worked with our teams to provide constructive feedback, which has been instrumental in helping shape our proposals. We now look forward to the Scottish Government's timely determination of this critical national infrastructure development in line with its new 52-week determination process for priority applications for electricity transmission infrastructure. SSEN Transmission's plan to spend at least £22 billion could potentially rise to £31.7 billion. And represents one of the largest ever private investment programmes in Scotland, which the company says will act as a major driver of jobs and economic growth across the country. Economic analysis, which has been independently peer-reviewed by leading consultancy Big R Economics, forecasts that, if delivered in full, the potential total investment could support up to 17,500 jobs, including 8,400 in the north of Scotland, with £3 billion in value to the region's economy. More than £100 million of community benefit funding is also expected across the north of Scotland, with the approximately 106-kilometre Kintore to Teeling overhead line project alone expected to deliver more than £2 million, and each substation generating a further £530,000, taking the total to more than £22 million. Tourism remains key to economy. Tourism delivered a £326 million boost to the Angus economy last year, according to new figures. Research conducted by Global Tourism Solutions using the Scottish Tourism Economic Activity Monitor, STEAM, model highlighted 1.3 million visitors explored Angus in 2024, showcasing the county as the perfect place to escape the everyday all year round. It also showed that the area's tourism value has increased 6.7% from 2023. Visitor numbers have increased by 8.3% from 2023 to 1.3 million. The number of staying visitors has risen to 460,000 compared to 458,000 in 2023, and that the number of day visitors continues to rise, increasing by 13.3% from 2023 to 807,000. The number of day visitors is now 30% above pre-COVID-19 estimates. The industry supports 4,029 full-time equivalent jobs, up 8.2% from 2023. Jill Patterson, service leader for planning on sustainable growth at Angus Council, said the figures show that the county is increasingly being recognised as a year-round destination for outdoor adventures, coastal escapes or cultural discovery. She said, "We are thrilled that tourism continues to support thousands of local jobs while showcasing all our region has to offer. Day visitors alone generated nearly £64 million, an 18.7% increase from the previous year, and an incredible 71.4% rise from 2019. It's a testament to the strength of our destination marketing and the appeal of our towns, glens and coast. But it's not just about the numbers. It's also about the jobs and opportunities this growth is creating for local people. We're working hard to make sure that Angus is not only a great place to visit, but also a great place to live. The non-serviced accommodation sector continues to flourish, contributing more than £148 million to the local economy. Angus's flexibility in accommodation and experience offerings has been a major factor in its steady recovery and growth since the pandemic. The demand for scenic landscapes and cultural experiences is particularly encouraging, reinforcing Angus as a destination of choice for those seeking authenticity, adventure and peace. An essential element to growth has been collaboration across public and private sectors. Caroline Warburton, Destination Development Director at Visit Scotland, said the impact of tourism is felt beyond the holiday experience, powering a visitor economy that creates jobs, investment and helps improve where people live and work. Angus has so much to offer, from beautiful landscapes and rich built heritage to delicious food and drink. It's well placed to capitalise on global travel trends. We've worked closely with Angus Council and Angus Tourism Cooperative to develop the region's brand, which will further help strengthen its position as a must-visit destination. Taxi fares set to rise. Taxi fares in Angus are set to rise by 14% as the Council approves new rates. Under the new rates, the daytime tariff will increase 60p to £5 for the first mile, an increase of 14%. Other daytime rates for longer distances will rise from 6% to 12%. Evening tariffs would go up between 6% and 11%, including from £5.50 to £6.10 for the first mile. Councillors agreed to introduce the new rates at a recent Civic Licensing Committee meeting. Neil Gibson of Lorimer Cabs and Montrose, one of the area's largest taxi firms, urged councillors to back an increase, saying it was vital to the survival of their businesses. Addressing the committee, he said, "The bottom line is, if we can afford to be in business, we can't actually charge pro rata against what our product costs us to produce when we sell it, then we are out of business." The new fares will come into effect on Halloween. Committee convener Ross Gregg added, "Even though there has been an increase in the taxi fares, this is the maximum that can be charged. Taxi operators do have the choice of charging lower fares if that suits their business model better in specific areas. However, the proposals split the opinion of councillors." During the committee meeting, independent Lewis Speed, backed by council leader George Meehan, put forward an amendment asking fellow committee members to stick with the status quo. She raised concerns that the change could affect some of the more vulnerable members of the Angus community, who may, for a variety of reasons, have to rely on taxis to get around. She said, "What concerns me is there is different feedback in different localities. It's very clear that a lot of the consumer base are the more vulnerable within our society. They are the ones who are the most reliant because, for whatever reason, they haven't got other means of transport or because they need that door-to-door service due to their vulnerabilities, whether it be age, disability, ill health or pregnancy. Despite this, councillors went ahead and approved the increase with 7 votes in favour and 3 against. 5.9 million benefit of shopping locally. An extra £5.9 million could be driven directly into Angus's economy if everyone in the region spent just £1 a week more with local businesses, according to a national business group. The significant financial difference that can be made safeguarding businesses and protecting jobs has been highlighted as part of Scotland Loves Local Week. Businesses are championing the transformational impact of choosing local as part of a series of events themed on People Make Places, running until Saturday. Scotland Loves Local is the drive for people to build stronger, more sustainable futures for their communities by supporting the businesses in their areas. It is organised by Scotland's Towns Partnership, STP, with support from the Scottish Government. STP has calculated that if every person in Scotland were to spend £1 more per week with local businesses, an additional £282.7 million would be generated annually. Kimberly Guthrie, STP Chief Officer, said, "The reality is that £5.9 million is the tip of the iceberg of what can be achieved in Angus. If £1 more every week can make a transformational impact to the people who make our places, just imagine what is truly possible by choosing local even more. Money stays local for longer when you spend with local businesses. These businesses spend with other businesses who employ other local people, who then spend with other local businesses. Every penny spent is an investment in the future of your area. The jobs and livelihoods of your neighbours, friends and family depend on you doing so." More information is available at www.lovelocal.scot or by emailing info@lovelocal.scot. Staff raise over £1,000. A determined team from Stagecoach's Arbroath Depot has successfully completed the Dundee Kilt Walk recently, raising over £1,000 for Breast Cancer UK in the process. Led by Deputy Manager Debbie Doherty, the group, which included driving instructor Ali Ross, Tony McReynolds, Jake Egan and Linda Thompson, completed the 21-mile Mighty Stride in just over 6 hours. Starting at West Sands in St Andrews, the route, the longest on the Kilt Walk, took walkers through Teaport and over the Tay Bridge, finishing at Dundee's Slessor Gardens. In addition to online donations, the team also collected generous contributions in cash, which helped to take their fundraising total over the four-figure milestone. The group were given a motivational boost ahead of the walk when Arbroath FC manager David Gold, who guided the Red Lichties to promotion into the Scottish Championship last season, sent a personal good luck message. Debbie said, "We're absolutely thrilled to have completed the Dundee Kilt Walk together and even more delighted to raise such a fantastic amount for Breast Cancer UK. The encouragement we've had from family, friends, colleagues and even our Bros manager has been amazing. We set out to do something positive and to see it inspire people around us has made it even more special." Buoyed by their achievement, the Stagecoach Arbroath team has already set their sights on going one better in 2026 by taking on all 4 Kilt Walks events across Scotland: Glasgow, Aberdeen, Dundee and Edinburgh. David Friends, Interim Managing Director at Stagecoach East Scotland, said this is a fantastic achievement by Debbie and the team. Completing the Dundee Kilt Walk in such an impressive time and raising more than £1,000 shows real dedication and community spirit. We're proud of the way our colleagues embody Stagecoach's values, supporting causes that matter deeply to them and to our communities. We look forward to cheering them on again next year as they aim for all four kilt walks. Welcome for new minister. Arbroath has welcomed the latest addition to its Church of Scotland pastoral team, with the recent induction of Reverend Judith MacLeod. Reverend MacLeod will join the team ministry of Arbroath and district. The induction service took place at the town's West Kirk, and the service was attended by Reverend Drew Barry, moderator of Perth Presbytery. Presbytery clerk Reverend Dr. John Ferguson, with worship led by Reverend Dr. Ian McLean. Other members of the local clergy also joined a packed congregation. Originally from Inverness, Reverend MacLeod studied at Highlands Theological College. She comes to the parish with husband Callum and son Keir. Reverend MacLeod conducted her first service at the West Kirk on Sunday, and she will also conduct services at St Andrews, St Vigen's and other rural churches in the area. Angus Stone has wide appeal. Arbroath and Broughty Ferry MP Stephen Gethins recently visited Denfine Stone, the sole producer of Angus sandstone worldwide, to learn more about the company's work and the history of this distinctive local material. Mr. Gethins toured the quarry and processing facilities and heard about the skills involved in working with sandstone, a resource that has been part of Angus's heritage for centuries. Denfine Stone outlined how their sandstone is currently being used in local developments, including the Arbroath Place for Everyone project and the Broughty Ferry Flood Defence project. The MP also heard about the stone's global legacy. Angus sandstone has been used in internationally significant buildings such as Cologne Cathedral and the Vatican, with records also showing historic exports to North America, Europe, Asia and Australia. Historically, the stone industry in Angus supported large-scale export, with up to 150 tonnes leaving Arbroath Harbour daily in the 19th century. This reputation was carried abroad by Scottish stonemasons, whose craft helped establish Angus sandstone on the international stage. He also learnt about Denfine Stone's current operations and future plans, including a new quarrying licence and the development of innovative products. Mr. Gethin said it was fascinating to hear how this material, rooted in our local area, has been part of global heritage for centuries, while also playing a role in modern projects here in Angus. Successful day at House of Dun. Community police officers from Trowes, Brechin and Inveresk recently arranged a family fun day at House of Dun near Montrose. They were joined by colleagues from the Scottish Fire and Rescue Service, Coast Guard, Scottish Ambulance, Service First Responders and the Royal Highland Educational Trust. The day was deemed a success with around 580 attending. Children and parents experienced fingerprinting and trying on the police uniform and equipment. Officers also subsequently attended the Borrowfield Fun Day in Montrose. Constable Garnes said, "We would like to thank all our partners for coming along to support our emergency services event and to House of Dun for allowing us to use their grounds. Thank you to Borrowfield Community Centre for inviting us to their fun day. We thoroughly enjoyed both events." Sport. Forfar need to look at how they set up in away games. Forfar Athletic boss Jim Weir admits he might need to look at things as his side weren't exciting enough in their 1-0 defeat away to Spartans on Saturday. The result knocked Forfar down to third in the League Two table as they were replaced by the Spartans at the top. The visitors definitely had their chances to score, most notably Ross McLean hitting the woodwork. Spartans keeper Paddy Martin also pulled off a couple of excellent saves, including clawing away a Scott Shepherd header that seemed destined for the net. At the other end, Mark McCallum was kept busy, the pick of his saves perhaps coming when he denied Mark Stowe in the first half. The only goal of the game arrived in the 51st minute when Cameron Russell's cross found Stowe, who would miss this time. Weir told Forfar Athletic TV, "It's always disappointing when you lose a game, especially when it is 1-0. But if I'm honest, I felt Spartans were the better team. Credit to my players as we gave it everything, but we weren't as exciting as we have been. We didn't pass as well as we did in the two home games and maybe need to look at how we set up away from home against good teams like Spartans." Forfar looked to bounce back on Saturday when they travelled to SPFL New Boys East Kilbride. Montrose hosted Forfar in the KDM Evolution Cup on Tuesday evening. The home side won 1-0 with Matthias Mikado scoring the only goal 13 minutes from time. Whiten is forced to retire at 28. Montrose striker Craig Whiten has been forced to retire from the game at the age of 28. The former Hearts and Dundee forward, who also had loan spells with Brechin City and Arbroath, has suffered persistent knee problem after suffering an ACL injury in 2017. Whiten hoped that going part-time at Lincs Park, having been on loan there last season from Dunfermline Athletic, might extend his career. However, just weeks after joining Montrose on a permanent basis, the ex-Scotland under-21 international has decided to hang up his boots. He found that even on a limited schedule, his body was continuing to struggle with the demands of training and playing, resulting in his love of the game waning. Whiten said, "I want to thank Montrose for the short time I've been here. I've really enjoyed the changing room and appreciate how nice everyone connected to the club has been. This is a decision I feel like I've had to make, as I can't cope with the physical demands on my body anymore and I can't perform the way I want to and know that I can. I also want to thank the manager for understanding and for how well he took the news when I had the conversation. That meant a lot to me. I wish Montrose nothing but the best. I'll be supporting the boys and have no doubt they'll have a successful season as they are a great group of players and guys." Montrose boss Stuart Petrie added, "We are all obviously shocked and saddened by this news. Since he walked in the door in January, Craig has been the model professional with a great attitude and super personality. At such a young age, he had achieved so much in the game, but he was clearly dealing with a lot of pain too on a weekly basis. As an ex-player, I appreciate how hard a decision this has been, but health and family come first. Being recently married, Craig has a new chapter in his life to focus on, and we wish him and the family all the very best for the future." Montrose lost 2-0 at home to Inverness Caledonian Thistle on Saturday and are still looking for their first win in League One this season as they host Peterhead on Saturday.
Hello, this is Julie reading from the Angus County Press on September 4th, 2025. Sticker book launched by Mark Dowie. An Angus football club has launched its own official inaugural sticker album to celebrate its players and coaches. The collectible makes sports clubs the stars of their own sticker albums and offers fans a fun and meaningful way to engage and add to their collection. The stickers showcase 22 teams featuring 500 players and 60 coaches spanning from the senior men's squad to the youth, girls and women's teams. Carnoustie Panmure Community FC launched the book at their ground, Laying Park, on Saturday, meaning football fans will be able to collect stickers and create a unique keepsake that reflects the spirit of the club. Sam Lawson from the club said this is a hugely exciting step for Carnoustie Panmure. A sticker album is not only a fun way for players to engage, but also a way of preserving our proud history. It will be enjoyed by the players, supporters and future generations. The sticker album was designed and produced by Words and Pictures, a specialist photographic company based in Edinburgh. Alistair Pride, founder, said, "We produced our first sticker over 10 years ago. It's an innovative product that supports clubs with their fundraising efforts and makes memories for all the players. Since our first, we've produced over 2 million stickers and Carnoustie's album is our 74th. We're delighted to welcome Carnoustie Panmure Community FC to the W&P family." Peak rail fares are scrapped. From this week, customers travelling on ScotRail services pay the same fare no matter what time they travel, following the scrapping of peak fares. In a first for rail travel anywhere in Britain, the Scottish Government policy is aiming to make train fares simpler, more flexible and provide better value for money for rail users. A further aim of the change is to get more people to leave the car at home and travel by rail instead. Removing peak fares will mean significant savings for customers across the country, with some journeys set to reduce by almost 50%, including those between Edinburgh and Glasgow. Customers can check the ScotRail website or the app to see off-peak fares for their route. The website also has a fare comparison tool that helps customers find the best ticket option for their travel needs. Fare Support for New Festival by Mark Dowie. A new Brechin festival is set to bring 2 days of outstanding vocal music to the town's historic cathedral next weekend. On Saturday, September 13th and Sunday, September 14th, Voice Festival Brechin will feature vibrant local choirs to renowned choral ensembles and promises an inspiring weekend of music in one of Scotland's most atmospheric settings. In its inaugural year and with ongoing events, Voice Fest will highlight the diversity of choral and vocal talent in Scotland and beyond. The programme is designed to appeal to all ages, creating a welcoming space where the whole community can come together through song. And the new event has attracted support from ScotMid, which has donated a range of fair trade refreshments for audiences, reflecting a long-standing commitment to the movement. Angus Cool, festival organiser, said, "We are thrilled to welcome ScotMid's support for VoiceFest." Clash over pool access by Liam Rutherford. Angus councillors have clashed over calls for public access to the new £66.5 million Monifieth Learning Campus pool. The new facility welcomed students for the first time recently at the start of the new term. However, during a Family Education and Justice Committee meeting, councillors were divided over a motion calling for public access to the school's pool. Monifieth councillor and former SNP administration leader Beth Whiteside brought forward a motion which asked officers to consider opening the pool and other school facilities for public use as often as possible. It also sought a further report to be brought back to councillors detailing options for community access. Councillor Whiteside argued that there is a lack of affordable options for leisure and sport facilities in the area, as well as a desire from locals to access the facilities. During the meeting, she said, "Fundamentally, a family can't go along at any point during the week and have the swim as a family. Only people who are taking swimming lessons or are already a member of a swimming club can access the pool. There was public access at Monifieth High some years ago, so it's not inconceivable that it could happen again." However, the motion divided councillors. Fellow Monifieth councillor Heather Doran put forward an amendment to the issue, requesting officers provide an update on the use of the publicly available spaces at the end of the academic year. The committee also heard the pool is fully booked this school session by the local swimming club and Learn to Swim groups. It was also said that to manage the pool as a public leisure facility would cost around £300,000 a year. Miss Whiteside's motion was narrowly defeated, with 7 in favour and 8 against. Cliff tours proved to be popular. Arbroath Cliff Tours had a busy day on Saturday with no fewer than 3 kayak tours along the coast and into the area's famous caves. Run by Cameron Smith, on Saturday he provided tours from visitors from as far afield as Glasgow, Edinburgh and Aberdeen, all keen to kayak along the coast and view inside the caves. The tours are conducted with safety in mind, and Cameron is also very informative regarding the structure of the Arbroath Cliffs, which have evolved over millennia. There are also many points of interest, including such well-known rock formations as the Deal's Head and Needle's Ee. Local wildlife is an added highlight, and dolphins have ever even been known to pop up beside kayakers as they paddle along the coast. And there's a lovely picture of one of the kayaking groups beside the leader. Restaurants are award winners by Mark Dowie. 2 Angus restaurants have been listed among the winners of this year's Food Awards Scotland. Andrew's Bistro in Arbroath won Best Mediterranean Establishment, while Montrose Institution Roo's Leap was recognised for excellence in the Best World Cuisine category. Organised by Oceanic Awards, for the last decade they have been an annual celebration of Scotland's top culinary hotspots. These awards shine a spotlight on the dedication, talent and entrepreneurial spirit of restaurant owners and teams across the country who work tirelessly to deliver exceptional service and experiences to their communities. This year's event took place recently at the Doubletree by Hilton, Glasgow Central, and saw top professionals come together to celebrate their achievements. Flower Club in business for annual show. The Arbroath Flower Club held their annual flower show at the Abbott Street Lounge over the weekend. Running across Friday and Saturday, the show had a proper homegrown feel, as the imaginative floral displays were put together by individual members with flowers nurtured their own gardens. There were various species of flowers on show and arranged to form wonderful displays. This year's show was on the theme of business in bloom, with each arrangement representing a different type of business, including the music shop, the tea room, the cycle shop and the fishmonger. There was also a cafe area in which visitors could enjoy refreshments. The club meets every third Thursday at 2 p.m. in the Abbott Street Lounge, Barber's Croft, and features demonstrations by experts throughout the season. Further details can be found on the club's Facebook page. And there's a lovely picture with 2 of the ladies and all the winning exhibits. Sun Shines on First Angus Pride Event by Mark Dowie. Angus's first Pride event, held in Arbroath on Saturday, was a resounding success. The Town's Abbey hosted the start of a parade which followed a route along the High Street to Victoria Park. It was launched with a speech from LGBTQ+ charity House of Nonsense, while the celebration at the park included a number of acts and stalls. While Pride events have previously been staged in individual towns in the county, this was the first organised by Angus Pride since it was formed as a community interest company. Events manager Fiona Solomon said, "Our mission goes beyond one event. We're working hand in hand with local businesses, organisations and residents to create a vibrant, resilient Angus, rooted in diversity, collaboration and pride in who we are. We hope very much to become a support organisation offering much more than events." And there's lovely colourful pictures from the event by Wallace Ferrier. Angus Hoard to go on public display by Mark Dowie. A Bronze Age hoard discovered in Carnoustie a decade ago will go on display for the first time next summer, after being acquired for the nation by National Museums Scotland. The hoard was unearthed in 2016 by Gard Archaeology near the town, in an area that was due to be developed into 2 football pitches. The full collection of archaeological finds from site represents a nationally significant group of objects spanning nearly 3,000 years from the early Neolithic to the late Bronze Age. It includes a rare spearhead decorated with gold and bronze sword in a wooden scabbard, dating from around 1120 to 920 BC. The new exhibition, Scotland's First Warriors, will bring together more than 250 objects spanning thousands of years to explore the origins and impact of conflict and warfare in prehistoric Scotland. The spearhead has an intricately decorated gold-bound socket, one of only 2 such examples known from Scotland. It was discovered alongside a bronze sword with an unusual lead tin pommel, still sheathed in the remains of a wooden scabbard. The sword was carefully wrapped in a woven wool garment, fastened with a disc-headed pin. The spearhead blade was wrapped in sheepskin, and the socket was wrapped in a fine woolen cloth. Archaeologists said the items were deliberately and thoughtfully placed near a Bronze Age round structure, and is the only hoard of this date to be found within a clearly defined settlement. It offers a unique opportunity to explore the relationship between these treasured objects and the lives of the people who crafted and used them. The survival of prehistoric textiles and organic material is also extremely rare and reveals an extra layer of the care and attention that went into the hoard's formation. Dr. Matthew Knight, Senior Curator of Prehistory at National Museum Scotland, said the hoard features a number of exceptional finds. He said the Carnoustie hoard is a remarkable discovery. This is the first time we've encountered weapons buried at a settlement where people live. It forces us to reconsider relationships between people and these objects and enriches our picture of life in Bronze Age Scotland. Chance for schools to win £5,000. The Hunter Foundation, THF, is calling on school pupils from Angus to drive new ideas for Scotland's future by asking them what they'd do if they ruled the country. Scotland's primary and secondary pupils are being invited to submit their ideas on the theme If I Ruled Scotland, with a chance to win a cash prize for their schools. The winner's school will receive a £5,000 funding boost, as well as a £30,000 Young Leader People's Leadership Academy course from Columba 1400, a registered charity which is celebrating 25 years of partnership with the Hunter Foundation. Two runners-up will each receive cash injections of £2,500 for their school. Sir Tom Hunter, founder of THF, said, "If you ruled Scotland, what would you change? All you have to do is write an essay, a poem, create a film or a picture, or indeed use any medium you wish to tell us what you would do if you ran Scotland. Entrants can make a submission as an individual or as a group. The winner will have the opportunity to share their vision by presenting their winning entry at the exclusive Founders Conference at Glen Eagles Hotel on Friday, November the 7th, where Scotland's leading entrepreneurs will be present and eager to hear their ideas. Entrants should provide content in whatever form they prefer, outlining what they would change, why, and how. They are also encouraged, with support from their teacher, to outline how they would invest the £5,000 and select pupils for the Young People's Learning Academy. The deadline for entries is Monday, September 22nd, and further information can be found at www.thehunterfoundation.co.uk. Festival set to open doors. Angus is set to take part in Doors Open Days on Saturday and Sunday, September 13th and 14th, Scotland's largest free festival celebrating places and stories new and old. This year marks the 36th year of Doors Open Days, which sees organisations and volunteers offer free access to sites and events through Scotland. It aims to ensure that Scotland's built and cultural heritage is made accessible to everyone. Doors across the county will be opened wide, welcoming visitors to uncover hidden gems and experience familiar places through fresh eyes. Participating properties include the former Arbroath Courthouse, which is undergoing a transformation into a community asset, Kinnaird Castle and the Davidson Legacy Cottage near Brechin, Forfar's Balmacharnor War Memorial, Glenesk Folk Museum and Kirriemuir Camera Obscura. Details can be found on the Visit Angus website. Heartstart skills can help to save a life. Heartstart Discovery is running free two-hour training sessions in emergency life support for members of the public in Angus this month. Being able to perform emergency life support, a set of actions needed to keep someone alive until professional help arrives, gives a casualty the best possible chance of survival. Courses are free of charge and no medical knowledge is required in order to undertake one. It only takes 2 hours to learn the skills which may save a life, and it is very likely that the person you help may be a family member or someone close to you. The sessions cover caring for an unconscious person who is breathing, caring for an unconscious person who is not breathing and performing CPR, awareness of defibrillators, how to recognise the signs and symptoms of a heart attack and how to deal with it. Places are available on the course on Forfar, Thursday, September 18th, 2 to 4, and in Montrose on Monday 22nd September 2-4. For further details and to register, you can contact Helen Brady at nhs.scot or send a message to the Facebook page Heartstart Discovery. Help to Solve Reception Problems by Mark Dowie. Arbroath residents are being warned that work to upgrade mobile network services in the area could cause interference to television reception. There is a small chance that programming received through an aerial such as Freeview, BT, TalkTalk and UView might be affected. Symptoms could include intermittent sound, blocky images or complete loss of television signal. For residents affected by the upgrades, free support is available from Restore TV. Restore TV is an independent programme created by MOVA, Digital Mobile Spectrum Limited, an organisation owned by UK's mobile network operators EE, Virgin, Media O2 and Vodafone 3. Restore TV's role is to ensure that people can continue to enjoy free-to-view television if mobile service upgrades cause television interference. Restore TV reports to the Coexistence Technical Working Group, chaired by Ofcom, which monitors and advises on the programme to ensure free-to-view television viewers' interests are properly served. For further information about the company and its services, visit its website at restoretv.uk. Support sought for Beaver expansion plans by Mark Dowie. Organisations, communities and land managers with an interest in hosting beavers are being encouraged to come forward as the population continues to expand across Scotland. Currently, there are 6 catchments to which beavers have either been officially granted permission to remain or have been released. Populations are already established in Tayside on the Forth, in Knapdale, Loch Lomond and the Cairngorms National Park. 2 releases have also recently been approved in the Beauleigh catchment. Nature Scot is inviting expressions of interest for the wild release of beavers to new areas. The aim is to get a better picture of where there is interest in beaver restoration, with a view to bringing interested organisations and individuals together to develop broad strategic plans for beavers at a catchment scale. Scotland's beaver strategy aims to increase the current range of beavers in Scotland, restoring them to suitable parts of the country with appropriate management and mitigation where necessary. Dr. Jenny Bryce, Nature Scot's beaver team manager, said beavers are ecosystem engineers, creating habitats such as ponds and wetlands where other species thrive, as well as moderating water flows and improving water quality. In doing so, they play an important role in helping to restore biodiversity and respond to the climate emergency in Scotland. Now I'm just flicking over the paper here and we're going to reach the sports section. So we have 10 Man City knocked off top spot after draw by Brian Yule. Brechin City have been knocked off the top of the Highland League after being unable to hang on for the win against Clackenacudden with 10 men. 19-year-old winger Finlay Allen went straight in for the starting 11 for the Glebe Park clash after arriving on loan from Dundee. Allen previously worked with City boss Ray McKinnon while on loan at Forfar Athletic and was also farmed out to Stenhouse Muir. McKinnon told the club's website, "We're delighted to have young Finlay on board. I've worked with him previously and I'm aware of the attributes and talent that he possesses. He can play wide on either side or up front." City came close to taking the lead in the first half when a Paul Watson header from a Fraser McLeod corner came back off the bar. However, at the other end, James Anderson was proving a handful with only a smart block by Ewan Spark, preventing him capitalising on a lapse at the back. The first major talking point of the game came after 63 minutes when Mitch Taylor, who had already been booked for diving, was shown a second yellow card for dissent. Despite being a man down, it was City who looked the more likely to find the net and they looked to have won it with 7 minutes left when Craig Tosh's volley was parried by Ridgers and Watson slid in the rebound. However, with 3 minutes to go, McLeod was penalised for a handball in the box. And while Craig Hepburn saved Anderson's penalty, Josh Meekings followed up to grab the equaliser. McKinnon told Hedges TV, "I thought that the first half was pretty stale. We had a chat at half-time to determine how we were going to approach things in the second half, and I felt that our intensity after the break was pretty good. We created chances, and it was very disappointing that we didn't go on to win the match. Tributes to Arbroath legend Bone by Brian Newell and B. Banks. Arbroath has paid tribute to former player and manager Jimmy Bone following his death at the age of 75. The striker arrived at Gayfield in 1975 and over the next 3 years would score 41 goals in 97 league games. A statement from the club read, "All at Arbroath are devastated to share the passing of former player and manager Jimmy Bone." Jimmy was initially signed by Albert Henderson from Celtic in January 1975 to try and keep the club in the top division. During the 1976-77 campaign, he played in every competitive match, but despite continuing to score regularly, the team could only finish in a mid-table position. Our thoughts go to Jimmy's family and friends at this time. Bone would return to Arbroath as player-manager in the 85-86 season and was inducted in the club's Hall of Fame in 2019. Having started his career at Partick Thistle, he would also feature for Norwich City, Sheffield United, St Mirren, Toronto Blizzard, Hong Kong Rangers and Hearts. Bone also earned 2 caps for Scotland, scoring in a 4-1 World Cup qualifying win away to Denmark in 1972. After hanging up his boots, he would assist Alex Smith as they won the Scottish Cup with St Mirren in 1987. Bone would then strike out on his own to manage Airdrieonians, Power Dynamos in Zambia, St Mirren, East Fife and Stenhouse Muir. A number of his former clubs paid tribute to Bone after learning of his passing. Bone's son David said it is humbling for all of us to feel the love that people had for Dad. Steve's makes his 400th appearance by Brian Newell. Montrose captain Andy Steeves has been recognised by the club after making his 400th appearance. The 31-year-old defender reached the milestone in the recent 3-all draw away to Cove Rangers. Steeves joined Montrose from Forfar Athletic in 2015 and is the third member of the current squad to reach 400 appearances, joining Graeme Webster and Terry Masson. Club chairman John Crawford said Andy has played a huge part in our success over the last decade and should be rightly proud of reaching 400 appearances. His attitude, commitment and dedication is there for all to see, and it was this level of consistency and professionalism that made him the obvious successor to Paul Watson as club captain. We very much hope this season is another successful one for Andy, not only on the pitch, but also with all of his testimonial celebrations. Steve's told Montrose FC TV, "It's a huge honour from game 1 to game 400. We're in a totally different position, but still have that core of unity and togetherness. There's a lot of people here that have been on the full 10.5-year journey with me, and I'm really, really proud of it." And the last article we have is "McLean required surgery on ankle" by Brian Newell. Forfar Athletic midfielder Ross McLean had to be rushed to hospital after being injured away to League Two New Boys East Kilbride. McLean went down under a seemingly innocuous clash a minute into the second half, but was in obvious pain. The game in South Lanarkshire was held up for 20 minutes as the 28-year-old received treatment. McLean was then taken by ambulance to University Hospital here in Myers, where medical staff confirmed he had suffered a broken ankle. The former Motherwell man was transferred that evening to University Hospital Wishaw and has now undergone surgery. McLean, who joined Forfar from Dumbarton last summer, will now miss some considerable playing time. A club statement said, "Obviously this will mean a lengthy stint on the sidelines for Ross, who has been a regular in the starting lineup throughout the early part of the current campaign." The player, though, has spoken on the phone from hospital to our management team and chairman and seemed in remarkable spirits, all things considered. Certainly the thoughts of all of Walloon's persuasion are with Ross, alongside the hope for a full and speedy recovery.
Hello, I'm Mary Buckley, and this article called "Smart Glasses, Seeing is Believing" was written by Lindsay. The first thing that comes to mind when hearing the term "smart glasses" is a pair of spectacles with a fancy modern frame to look fashionable. However, there are two angles to that these days, as looking smart has now been combined with clever smart in the form of artificial intelligence. Several companies are now marketing reasonably affordable smart glasses, costing from around £300 to £500. This puts them in the same price range as a high-quality mid-range smartphone. Of course, a standard smartphone can take photographs, speak, text, and assist with information searches. So what about the AI smart glasses? Well, they have specific functions for those with visual impairment or total sight loss. AI-operated smart glasses, although having been available from 2023, have only become legally available in the UK to those with vision loss since April 2025. There are several manufacturers, all with slight variations of product, but all with the aim of providing sight and understanding of the environment to those who need visual assistance in their day-to-day lives. These AI smart glasses can do numerous tasks, mostly controlled by voice activation. For example, they can read aloud items like letters, signs, or menus. They can audio describe scenery around the wearer when out and about, including what street they might be on, and safety essentials such as the location of Pelican Crossings. When meeting up with familiar people, the glasses can learn these faces and then announce who they are to the wearer. In addition, certain brands of smart glasses have extra assistance features built in. For example, Envision glasses, which use the Google Glass Enterprise Edition 2 platform software, can support multi-languages, read handwriting, and even detect light levels. The Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses specialise in look-and-tell software, enabling the wearer to interact with advanced multimodal AI in the glasses by asking real-time questions about objects, reading material, or navigating environments. The glasses give immediate spoken responses, thus guiding the wearer and enhancing situational awareness. The only downside to these models of smart glasses is that they require linking to and the use of a smartphone and a special app to work. For anyone with some remaining usable vision, most smart glasses can include prescription lenses. Here are examples of three basic brand options. eSight offers high-resolution displays and real-time video processing of images seen by the wearer. Orcam MyEye 3 Pro includes a text, face, colour, money and barcode recognition device which can fit magnetically onto regular glasses. However, going forward, these glasses may not be as well supported as other brands as their functions are independent of the internet. Dot Lumen glasses are all about spatial awareness and helping the wearer safely navigate social and difficult scenarios such as crowded streets or staircases. They do this by utilising ultrasonic sensor information detected from obstacles in real time. So, there seems to be plenty of advantages of AI smart glasses, but what about the disadvantages? Currently, smart glasses offer only about 5 or 6 hours of battery life on a single charge, and surprisingly, some models are less water resistant than others in daily use. Also, like any electronic assistive technology, there may be times when the glasses lose power or break down. This makes it advisable to have a backup mobility aid to hand, such as a long cane, as an extra means of navigating your way around if necessary. With multiple options available, it's important to spend time working out which smart glasses can work best for you before investing your money. If you are considering a purchase, always make sure that you check several options to make sure that you find the glasses that are best suited to your individual requirements and lifestyle.
TNF Soundings.